the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, it's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. This is the Ramsey Show. We help people build wealth, do work that they actually love, and create actual, real, amazing relationships. George Camel, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. George, I am excited. We announced yesterday that we are doing a free live stream. It's going to be about an hour long. It's completely free, and it's all about, well, we're calling it the Real Estate Reality Check.
I love that. I had a name that was not as good. It was The Struggle Is Real Estate. That one did not pass the marketing vibe check, unfortunately.
Yeah, when we have to do a rim shot after your marketing,
like
if you have to go ba-da-bum, right
sound
after
effect.
That,
come on, guys,
for everybody to get what you're saying, then George, it's a bad slogan.
Way better name, Reality Check, and that's exactly what people need to do.
Yeah, so this is going to be a lot of fun, you guys. July the 14th, Rachel Cruz, George Camel, and I are going to jump in front of the camera. We're going to spend an hour with you, walking you through facts. Because here's what happens. That's why we call this reality check, actually. The real estate, the realty reality check. But because here's what happens. Nothing like, there's two things where people go completely down the rabbit hole like they're on LSD. They lose their minds and they make up these stories in their heads. One of them is conspiracy theories, and one of them is real estate. I've been doing real estate since I was 18 years old. So I've had a real estate license 42 years.
Wow.
Okay, so I've heard it all. And the one that no one gossips in America like they gossip about what a piece of real estate sold for. They just make up crap. They just make it up. They go, well, I heard the neighbor. I heard the neighbor got $2 million for that. I heard the neighbor. Or I heard they knocked $500,000 off the price. Yeah, but did you hear that the entire garage had fallen in and the septic system was bad? Did you hear that part? That there's a reason they knocked it off. It's not because the real estate market is crashing. That there's actual facts and reasons and data under this. And I heard the neighbor. And when someone starts their real estate diatribe narrative with, I heard the neighbor, you're getting ready to hear bad information that some goober made up in the rumor mill, and it's just not true. You need to actually check the actual courthouse and see what the house actually sold for. Oh, my neighbor's asking $2.5 million. Well, hey, so mine's up for sale for $8 million. I mean, what? That doesn't mean any goober's going to pay that. What somebody's asking has nothing to do with reality. Because there are some people smoking drugs when they put their house on the market, and they decide they're going to ask that. I heard the neighbors asking, who gives a crap? What you need to deal with is an actual facts.
Charts and graphs.
That's what we're going to help you with. We're going to teach you where real estate prices come from. Is there going to be a housing crash? No, there's not. Spoiler alert. And I'm going to walk you through exactly, with actual math and data and economics and like facts and stuff instead of narrative and rumor and drama.
You are stirring up the pot, Dave. You just said, hey, the market's not going to crash. You would have thought, I mean, people are up in arms about this.
Man, you piss people off when you come up against their little conspiracy theories.
But here's what's happening.
If I'm hell-bent on the world coming to an end, I don't like it when someone says it's not. Yeah, and I will give you facts and data that I make up from some conspiracy website. Because listen, just 100% of what you hear on the internet is true. Abraham Lincoln said that. So there you go.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh, people. Seriously. All right. So we're going to do actual facts and actual data. We're going to teach you about supply demand and how that works. We're going to teach you what recessions and inflation and interest rates do to real estate markets. And we're going to tell you exactly what's going on. And then you're going to understand where the real estate market is going to go in the next 6 months to 2 years. And you're going to be able to make good like adult decisions instead of like a screaming beagle chasing a rabbit. Hey, 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 hey. Some of you people lose your minds. Calm down. You cannot think when you're panicking.
We're going to show them what to do
when
once
you're
we
greedy
do that.
And when you're afraid, you make bad decisions.
Yeah. And if you're whether you're looking to buy or sell, we're going to show you the right steps to do it so that you don't have buyer's remorse, so that you don't make a bad decision. There's a right time to do this financially.
Yeah. And there is some things changing for sure. The market is definitely shifting.
Well, people are seeing price cuts because it was overpriced, and now they're going, David's crashing, I told you.
There's a difference in price cuts on unrealistic asking prices. That's like your crazy neighbor is asking too much. and actual value drop. Okay, the house appraised for this, and I, you know, it appraised for $800,000, but we put it on the market for $1 million, thinking we were going
to
get
just
it.
Just to see.
Thinking we were going to get it.
Market's hot.
Because we're those people, you know, and now we've realized the market's not going to actually sell for over appraisal, and so we're going to reduce the price to appraisal, and now we call that a price cut. So now you've got the house listed for what it should have been listed in the first place. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not a price cut. That is called a reality check. You dialed in and realized, okay, we're no longer in the land of auctions, and we're actually going to sell a house. So, because, you know, you put a house on the market today, you're not, you may in some areas get 83 offers over the weekend, but most of that's done. And if the only time you've existed in the real estate market is when you put a house on the market and it's you got 83 offers in 48 hours, if you have existed only in an unrealistic real estate market. That is, I've been doing this 42 years. I've seen that happen for about 2 years, the last 2 years. Prior to that, I've never seen people. Multiple offers on a single property was very unusual prior to that. And 80 offers on one property in 48 hours was completely unheard of. Completely unheard of. So if that's your only understanding of the real estate market, you don't know how the real estate market works. You know, you were dealing in fantasy land.
And so when things slow down, it feels like a crash.
It's not a crash.
Because it's been on the market for 3 weeks.
It's a return to normalcy, which is actually a really
good
thing.
We could use some of that.
Overall,
I love it.
So real estate reality check, July the 14th. We're going to continue to give you hints of what we're going to say, which is like common sense and stuff, kind of like we do around here all the time. We don't work in drama. We work in facts, and we work in data. And all those kinds of stuff. So, yeah, check it out. You can get a free pass to watch this. Get your goober friend who thinks the sky is falling. If you know Chicken Little personally, invite them to watch this, okay? RamseySolutions.com/reality check. RamseySolutions.com/reality check. It is a free live stream July the 14th.
And if you disagree, just hate watch it. That's the new thing, Dave, on the internet now. You just watch it.
Watching.
Knowing you're going to hate it. And so you just get riled up the whole time. Going, that Dave Ramsey telling me it's not going to crash. I'll show him in the comment section.
Yeah.
And there they are.
There you go. Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, you can do that if you want to. That's okay. I don't care. But I don't really expect to convert someone who's already
crazy.
Because you got friends that, you know, like Rachel with the conspiracy theories.
Yes.
You can't talk them out of it. No amount of facts. The number of facts doesn't matter. Okay? They've just decided that this is the way it is, and they believe this whole narrative that's mythology. And so you presenting them with facts just confuses them. And it doesn't convert them, though. It doesn't make them come down off of their crazy land that they're visiting. And the same thing's true here. If you're just hell-bent and you're sure the economy's going to crash and anybody that says anything otherwise is crazy, you can hate watch this if you want to watch it, but you're wasting your time because I'm not going to change and you're still going to be wrong after you watch it. So there's that. So, you know, join us July 14th. We will get in your grill and tell you how this is going to work. Good stuff. We're excited about it. Can you tell? It's all free, by the way. RamseySolutions.com/reality check. If you don't like it, we'll give you your money back. Let's talk student loans. Millions of Americans are stuck in student loan debt with ridiculous interest rates. If that's you, I want you to check out Splash Financial. Splash makes refinancing those high-interest student loans fast and easy. Go to splashfinancial.com/Ramsey to compare and see what interest rates you can qualify for. Right now, fixed rates available through Splash start at 2.29% APR. Go to splashfinancial.com/Ramsey now. Ramsey Personality is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Pam is in Atlanta. Hi, Pam. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, how's everybody?
Great. How can we help today?
Okay, so I am calling because my husband and I have finally decided that we need to take care of our financial situation.
Good.
About 3 or 4 years ago, his aunt handed us the Total Money Makeover book, and we took it And we were like, no, we're okay. We're surviving.
Used it for a
we're
coaster.
Okay.
It was a coaster.
Yeah. Well, then we passed it along to another family member and said, oh, you might need this more than we do. And we're finally tired of surviving. We're tired of, you know, the paycheck to paycheck, and we have everything we need. But
I think she's ready, George.
Nothing to show for it.
That's the biggest step of all. I'm proud of you, Pam.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, thank you.
Give us a picture, a snapshot of your financial picture. What's your income and how much debt do you guys have?
Okay, so before taxes, we're right at 130. We bring home 98.8 a year between the two of us. Debt is about 76,000. Also, we have we kind of built our home. Well, we didn't kind of. We built our home ourselves. My husband really built it on some family land. So kind of like a barn dominium. So we have no mortgage. So all of that debt is credit card loans and then two car payments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I have ordered the book.
How can we best help you today?
Okay, so I ordered the book from Amazon. They sent me the wrong book, and I sent it back, and now they're supposedly sending me the right one. And I guess I just need to hear, I need you to tell me, like, just push me in that direction. I don't want to say I'm a skeptic, but, you know, I do a budget every quarter. I used to do an annual budget, and it never worked. It always fell apart.
It doesn't work.
So. I started doing a quarterly budget.
That doesn't work either.
Yeah, that's sometimes some months it works,
it doesn't
and then
work.
Some months it doesn't work.
No.
Yeah,
because every month is different,
right?
And you're trying to operate off a template instead of reality.
This is correct.
And
yeah.
So it won't work unless you do one before the month begins each and every month, because that way you're customizing what my income is that month. I know exactly what it's going to be for the coming month in almost every case, and I know exactly what my expenses are going to be, or are a really good, accurate projection of them. And so you take all of your income and you give every one of those dollars a name, a mission before the month begins. And here's the hard part. Any goober can do that. You can do that on a yellow pad. Okay?
Sure.
It's sixth grade math, third grade math. All right? But the trick is then to actually use that through the whole month and not do anything with money except what's on that paper.
Right.
And you and your husband pinky swear and spit shake and agree to, this is a freaking contract. And so the way we always used to teach it in the old days in FPU, and it still applies today, is, you remember when you were a little kid? When I was a little kid, my little sister would say, you're not the boss of me. And that's the deal with the budget. The budget is not the boss of you. You get to tell the budget what it's going to do until the budget is done. And then the budget becomes the boss of you.
Right.
But you're the boss of it until it's down on that paper, and then it's telling you what to do. So it's saying, no pizza tonight, goober. You're $76,000 in debt. Stay at home and eat leftovers. That's the budget bossing you around. But if you're not looking at it and going, we're about to go over on our food budget, you won't stay home. You'll look back at the end of the month and go, oh, we went over on our budget again. Budgets don't work. No, you didn't stick to it. Budgets work if you stick to them.
Right.
But you can't do that on a quarterly or annual basis. It does not work, though. So that's the part of the budget thing that works. And then we're going to show you the whole system to get you completely out of debt and become wealthy all the way through.
Spoiler alert.
But then the trick is, you got to do every one of the steps.
Okay.
And if you think we're wrong, we're not. You are. We've shown 10 million people how to do this. I don't know anything about anything, but this stuff, I got it dialed in.
And Pam, the average person to do this stuff, they'll get out of debt within 18 to 24 months. If they get on a budget, they get serious, they start making some sacrifices. And based on the numbers you laid out, that's you guys. You can do this stuff.
And you've got money coming out of your check for retirement and or big health insurance or something else, because you got too much coming out of your check.
Yeah. Yeah, it's health insurance and 401k for mine.
Yeah, so you're going to stop your 401k temporarily. Are you getting a big tax refund too?
Not big. No.
What's
usually
not big?
Between $1,200 and $1,500.
Okay. All right. Then that's only $100 a month. Too much is coming out of your check for taxes.
Okay.
So we adjust that a little bit, but not much. And then we're just going to get on beans and rice and beans, because we want to be out of debt more than we care what somebody thinks. And that might mean selling a car. It might mean not. It will mean not going on vacation or going out to eat until you clean up this freaking mess you made. And then you're going to be free. What would it be like to have no payments in the world?
That would be awesome. Now, our next step after we would like to either purchase or build a house.
No, not now. Not now. You're broke.
No. After all of this is done.
Okay. Well, let's get out of debt first.
That's our goal.
Yeah, get out of debt, build your emergency fund, and then you can start piling up cash and build you a house with cash.
Okay. That sounds amazing.
Because if you don't have any payments, you're going to have this thing called money, because you make $130,000 a year.
Right. Okay. So, what do I need to do today until my book gets here, the correct book gets here?
Well, here's what I want you to do. Are you doing a budget on paper right now, Excel? What are you doing?
On paper. Handwrite it in paper. I have a big yellow binder that stays
on top of the book that's coming your way. I'm going to gift you Ramsey Plus. That includes Every Dollar Premium and Financial Peace University. And so in the meantime, what I want you to do is start your Every Dollar budget. This is digital. It's going to be easier to track than pen and paper, and I think that's going to do better for you. And watch all of the videos in Financial Peace University on top of that until the book gets there. The book is fantastic, and it's going to have stories
University
to inspire
better,
you.
Financial Peace University is better
than
the book.
If I could recommend one thing, and you're willing to do it, that's those 9 lessons.
So tonight, we're going to sign you up. Tonight, you and your husband watch the first lesson.
Okay.
And download the Every Dollar app and start your budget tonight on the Every Dollar
app.
And the both of you now, you really have to be committed to the vision of this. And it's a life change situation, but it's going to set you free if you do it.
Okay.
Because you got to get tired of being tired.
I'm so tired of living like this.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah. Hey, you got this. You can do it.
The only place is up from here, Pam. Yeah. We're rooting for you.
Hang on. We're going to Austin will pick up and get you signed up. You know, I spoke to a group the other day, and I got to listen to a group of guys and gals that had come through a drug rehab center. And what they said was, 4 different ones got up, and they've been clean and dry for 2, 3, 4 years, got their life back, you know, got to see their children again. Their children have been taken away from them, everything else. These were hardcore drug addicts, crack, heroin, you know, everything. And they were completely dry and completely cleaned up. And I got to listen to them, and then I talked to them a little bit afterwards. And every one of them said, and the guy running the rehab center said, the people that get clean and stay clean all share one thing. They always at some point say, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I've been running from these drugs or to these drugs for so long. And the ones that are ready to change say, I'm tired. So when someone says, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, like she said, she's tired of this. That's always a
That's
really
a great
good
indicator.
Sign. Now, she's not doing heroin.
That helps too.
But I mean, the point, you're right. But the point is that it's all behavior change, and behavior change is behavior change. I mean, if you look down and you go, I'm tired of being fat, you know, I looked down, I gained a whole bunch of weight eating donuts during COVID, and I said, I'm tired of being fat. I'm tired. And I was physically tired too, but
that's when life change starts.
Yeah, there's that.
But, yeah. You can Google how to get out of debt, but doing it's the hard part.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows what to do.
The knowledge is easy.
How do you lose weight? You eat less and you exercise more. Away from the donuts, Ramsey. Get away from the donuts, boy.
I'll slap it out of your hand if I see one.
All right.
I'll see how that goes for me.
Yeah, see how that works out for you. This is The Ramsey Show. Say it all the time, if you're a business owner, you've got to know your numbers. But if you're using old school finance software, manual processes and delays can hold you back. It's time to graduate to NetSuite by Oracle. With NetSuite, you gain visibility and control your financials, inventory, HR, e-commerce, plus access to their number one cloud financial system. To get clear on your numbers and take your business to the next level, go to netsuite.com/Ramsey. George Campbell, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. CJ and Jen are with us in Pittsburgh. It says on my screen you guys are debt-free. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Well done. How much did you pay off?
$112,000 in 20 months.
Good for you. And your range of income during that time?
We started out about $100,000 and ended up at about $125,000.
Cool. What do y'all do for a living?
I'm a prison guard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a pediatric speech pathologist.
Awesomeness. Very good. What kind of debt was the $112,000?
Our mortgage.
No! Oh, talking to weird people!
Yes, we are.
Yeah, normal's broke.
About to pay it.
The biggest compliment you can get around here is when we call you weird, because normal's broke. Normal sucks. And you guys have your mortgage paid for. You're amazing. What in the world? How old are you two?
I am 43.
And I'm 45.
When'd you get married?
2004.
Okay, so 18 years ago.
Yeah.
Sweet little CJ and Jen get married, and they're clueless. Did you ever think you were going to have a paid-for house in your 40s?
Not in our 40s, no, but it feels amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you would have thought, most people think they're never going to get paid for, and if they do, it'd be like old people stuff, right?
Yeah.
But you're in your 40s, and you got it paid off. What's it worth?
Probably around 280 right now with this crazy market.
I love it.
So cool.
This crazy market, you own a house.
Yeah.
I love it.
You're not worried about interest rates.
No,
that's
not.
Awesome. So 20 months
you got a better rate than anybody out there that's got a mortgage. I'm just saying. Way to go, you guys. That's amazing. Okay, what started this journey? How did you guys get on this Ramsey stuff and get going 20 months ago?
Like everybody, you know, we had your book, and we read it, and I was ready, he wasn't, he was ready, I wasn't, and then, you know, several years ago, he came home and said, hey, I heard on the radio that FPU is going to be at a local church, do you want to go? So I called my mom and set up 9 weeks of babysitting, and it was game on.
Ooh,
we paid off $22,000 of school loans in about 6 months, and then just kept following the plan, and then, almost 2 years ago, the mortgage statement came, and we looked down, and we had paid about $120,000, but still owed $112,000, and our original loan was, we'd only paid like $60,000 of the actual principal, and it just set me off. So we have three girls, and we decided to make a bowl of stones that were $500 each, and every time we paid $500, we took a stone out, and our goal was to be done before our oldest turned 16, and we accomplished that goal in 20 months instead of 24. So
you made it with 4 months to spare. That's very cool. That is very cool. So when you signed up for Financial Peace University and you got the babysitting lined up and you both go over there, before you got to the first class, who was already more on board than the other one?
I think at that time, I read the book, but I need to hear it in person and be with other people doing it. So I think as soon as we signed up for the class, I was ready to go. What about you, CJ?
I was ready to go, too.
Okay.
Wow.
So it was my job was easy once you got there.
Yeah.
You needed the social proof.
Was the thing, and
we're not alone.
It was always about money, but having that plan and just that first class, we came home and we're just gung-ho ready to go.
Yeah. You can talk about working out, but when you hire a trainer and join a gym, now you're committed.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. That's game on.
Wow.
You guys are fun. That's great. Okay, you paid off your house. You're 43 years old, 18 years into marriage. You paid off everything. You did it 4 months early. Tell people after going through Financial Peace University, what is the main things they have to do if they want to be like you when they grow up? They want to be debt-free. How do you get out of debt?
You got to follow Dave's plan. You have to budget and pay in cash and just commit it. And then we have three girls, and we got them all involved, and they were cheering us on, and they were picking the perfect stone every month and just super encouraging. So you just need to do it.
They also help to keep us in check because there's times where they would say, that's not on the grocery list.
Ooh, they're calling you out.
Ooh.
Yeah, they would take things out of my hand and put it back on the shelf if it wasn't on the list. That was our little list.
Wow.
She's hardcore.
Make sure we stayed true to the list.
This kid's going to be a multimillionaire. Not only did her mom and dad set her up, but because they're debt-free, but now on top of that, she's actually had a model of a grown person with self-control and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
And even I have to say, we follow up until like 2 years ago, we were still sort of that Davish with that one credit card for gas and tires. And our middle one said to us, if you pay it off every month and Dave says don't have it, why do you have it? And I said, I don't know. And she goes, can I cut it up?
Wow.
And we looked at each other and said, sure. So now it's on our fridge in the shape of a flower magnet because our, at that time, 11-year-old said, what are you doing?
That's incredible.
I love this kid.
You raised a good one.
You're not raising weak women around there, I can tell you. They're putting stuff back on the shelf and cutting up mom's credit card. This is pretty cool.
Yep.
I like it. Good job, you guys. Very, very, very well done. We're so proud of you. How's it feel to be 100% free?
It's just a relief. There's, you know, I mean, little things happen. We were actually supposed to be in person, but my husband had a little fender bender last week, and we stayed home to get the car fixed, and it's more of an inconvenience. There's just very little stress, and it's great. Everybody needs to be debt-free.
Mm-hmm. Amen. CJ, how you feel?
I feel the same way, especially with prices of everything going up. Like, it's not that it's not fun, but it's not nearly as stressful as what it would be if we had other things hanging over top of our head yet.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
You gave yourself a raise not having that mortgage payment.
Yeah. Way to
yes,
go.
Yes, we did.
Way to go, you guys. We got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you, our latest number one bestseller. That's going to be your destiny. That's the next chapter in your all story for sure. And I think these girls are going to be deca-millionaires probably. Be worth $10 million
or
more.
They're already working hard. They part-time jobs and making crafts and selling cake balls. And
wow, that's so cool. Got a copy of Total Money Makeover for you as well. You can give that away and get someone else's journey started, hopefully. And since you've been through Financial Peace University, you may want to give this away. We're going to give you a gift card for a Financial Peace University membership for a year and get you into Ramsey Plus. You can either go back through and watch the new videos if you want. They're brand new, and we just reset the whole curriculum. It's the best it's ever been. Or you can give it away to somebody, whatever you want to do. CJ and Jen, 112,000 paid off in 20 months, making 100 to 125. House and everything! Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
All right, girls. 3, 2, 1. We're debt-free!
Yeah! Woo! That is, if you ever wonder what it sounded like, that's the sound of a family tree being changed. Mm. That's exactly what the sound is.
That was picture perfect.
You hear those kids screaming? The one that cut up the credit card, the one that turned it into a flower, the one that put the stuff back on the shelf, screaming debt-free just 4 months before she turned 16. See, this is stuff you remember. And when she's an old lady and she's talking to her grandkids, she goes, I remember back in 22, Mom and Daddy paid off the house. That's before we had $250 million like we do now, kids.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's what it's going to be. I'm telling you, man. This is how it happens right here.
Man,
this is how it happens.
There were so many components of that. Number one, they committed. They got the babysitting lined up. Then they got around other people who were doing it to encourage them, and that changed everything. And they had visuals. They had the kids involved. They had the rocks in the jar.
I love the rocks in the jar.
They made it visceral. And so when you do all those things, you're bound to become debt-free sooner rather than later.
Yeah, there's too many things barking at you. You got visuals and everything in front of you, and you got people around you, and your family's involved, and there's accountability and encouragement built into that whole system. And going to Financial Peace University, you can do it online if you want. We don't care. It's fine. But it's more powerful when you do it in person with a bunch of other people who are having the same fears that you're having.
Who text you and go, hey, we missed you this week. Where were you?
Yeah.
We'd love to see you next week. You know, it's that kind of stuff that makes it.
Yeah, or something not even that nice, like get your butt back in class or something.
That's if Dave's texting you. That's the one you're going to get.
Yeah.
I love it.
Where the flip were you? Yeah. That's, you know, people used to cry when I was a coordinator, but yeah.
And that's why he stopped, ladies and gentlemen.
Not very good at it. Oh, it's Better Talk Radio. This is the Ramsey Show. Saw a study that really made me sad. It showed that families owning life insurance in the U.S. was at its lowest point since the 1970s. After what we've been through the past few years, I'm just lost on how people don't make this more of a priority. How are you going to make sure your family needs are met if something happens to you? This is why getting term life is an absolute necessity. Rates have never been cheaper, and the whole process to apply is pretty simple, with many companies not even requiring an exam anymore. This is why I send you to Zander Insurance, and I have for almost 25 years. They'll make sure you get the right protection at the lowest cost possible, and they're there for you and your family every day. I challenge all of you to make sure your families are protected. It needs to be a top priority. Call Zander at 800-356-4282 or visit Zander.com. That's 800-356-4282 or Zander.com. George Camel Ramsey Personality is my co-host today. Our question of the day comes from Blinds.com. They have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. That means even if you mismeasure, you pick the wrong color, they'll remake your blinds for free. Free samples, free shipping, and with the new promos they run every month, you'll save even more. Always use the promo code Ramsey. Blinds.com, a great American company.
Today's question comes from Jill in Mississippi. She says, I'd like to hear your opinion on an engaged Christian couple asking for donations via GoFundMe to help them pay off the groom's debts so they can start their marriage debt-free. Well, I've heard it all, Dave. That's an interesting one. GoFundMe, which, if you don't know, is a fundraising platform online. You can set up for pretty much any need, and people can donate. You can set your goal, and you get to keep all the money even if you don't hit the goal with GoFundMe. So for an engaged Christian couple asking for donations to get this groom debt-free, I love the heart behind it. I love that he wants to become debt-free. That's about where I stop liking this picture.
It, you know what makes it feel weird is just the GoFundMe part. That's the only thing that makes it. Because, listen, if they just said, hey, in lieu of wedding gifts, we'd like cash to pay off our debt. You wouldn't think that was weird.
No.
I mean, you would go, it's weird. It's different. But, I mean, you wouldn't
Most people want to get you a spatula.
That wouldn't be a turnoff. But for some reason, it's a turnoff. And this woman thinks it is because she has to throw in that they're Christians, which has nothing to do with this.
I don't know where that came
from. GoFundMe's not in the Bible? I mean, what is that? They're an engaged Christian couple, which I'm reading between the lines. This person doesn't think this is proper. She's trying to say it's not Christian.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with a faith.
Look,
element.
Instead of wedding gifts, they wanted cash. That doesn't turn me off. But when you go GoFundMe, it kind of, because I'm an old geezer, I'd immediately go, bleh. But that's just a modern way of getting cash instead of, it's a technological way of getting cash.
When you take the wedding part out of it, it's a guy.
Instead of cash, I have to Venmo. Oh, give me a break. But okay, but, right?
There's no real need here. Now, if they were in turmoil, there was a health issue, it's a little bit different. But just the fact that you're getting married doesn't make me go, well, we should definitely pay Junior's credit cards off.
Yeah, but I mean, when you get married, you get a whole bunch of crap as gifts that you're never going to use. I'd rather have the cash personally and get the debt paid off. I don't think it's tacky, but that's me. I don't have any couth, so I have I don't know which side the fork goes on, okay? So what do I know? But
coming from a modern millennial, we had our normal gift registry, but we also had a house down payment fund because were in the
process.
Okay,
why is that not as tacky as this?
Because it was just a thing. If you wanted to support that instead of buying us a spatula, you could do that. But it wasn't asking me to pay off the debt before the wedding via GoFundMe that had nothing to do with the wedding. So it feels separate. I don't even know if anyone did it. It was just a fun thing. We decided, you know, this is what we're passionate about, and we're going to put it on there in case family and friends want to support
that. Yeah, the question actually, I'm reading into it. It does not say this is instead of a wedding gift.
It just starts.
It just says make donations. Now, that's different, too.
From people who may not even be at the wedding.
Yeah, that's different, too. No, I'm not going to give somebody. But in lieu of a wedding gift, if they would rather have cash because they are trying to buy a house, like George, I would be cool with that. I'd rather have a house than a cake knife.
And that's the problem. You go to Target and you start scanning things willy-nilly because you think every couple needs the cake stand. Stop buying the cake stand, millennials. What are you doing with the cake stand?
It's worse than Target. Home Depot.
Oh, that's dangerous for the guys.
Give George tools that he doesn't even know what they do.
Well, now they have the fancy battery ones, so I get more excited about those.
I know, but you don't still don't know what they do. They're just for battery operated.
Okay, fair
but,
point. Fair point.
So, but I mean, yeah, that's you could get a bunch of crap in our culture, and money actually translates. So I don't know. Jill obviously thinks it's tacky, and I can tell that because she throws the Christian thing in there. So I'm just saying, but. If it was in lieu of a wedding gift and it was cash, it wouldn't feel as weird. But because we're not sure it's a wedding gift, and because you threw GoFundMe in there like you're some kind of a charity,
that's the part that feels
because GoFundMe is almost usually for need.
Well, it's someone who lost their house in a fire.
Well,
there's cancer,
medical bills because they got cancer or something like that, right? And that's usually the stuff GoFundMe.
But just getting married and you got some debt.
I want to buy a new car. I've got a GoFundMe. Would you help me? You know, people do that stuff. There's some goobers have it on there for paying off their student loans and stuff. And we see that stuff pop up. But that's all weird. And maybe that's what's weird about it. I don't know.
Well, note to self, Dave's not going to support my GoFundMe. So I won't ask.
Dave. No, I really won't. I might give you some money, but it'd just be I'm not running it through them.
Hey, whatever you got, I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, I've got a battery-operated Sawzall. I'll just tell you that. All right. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Caleb is with us. Caleb's in Detroit, Michigan. Hey, Caleb, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Better than I deserve. How can I help?
Okay. Well, before I get to my question, I just want to say thank you for everything you guys are doing. I've been a long-time listener. Like, even in high school, I was telling my friends, sorry, guys, can't go out to eat. Dave said no. So, just appreciate you guys. Wanted to say thank you before I get started.
Thank you. How can we help?
So recently, over the last couple of years, I've been working in the fast food industry, and I've really taken a strong interest in entrepreneurial roles and leadership roles as well. So I've been looking to try and get into a franchise opportunity, and I've been doing a lot of networking, if you want to call it that. My name's been passed around a couple times, and I have a couple opportunities now in front of me, and I'm a little stressed about the decision that I need to make between these two.
Okay.
So the first option would be there's a group of investors who have bought three franchises, and they need someone to run them. So they've offered me a position as the operator. I would take a salary of a livable wage, and over the course of 5 years, I would build a sweat equity in the business of 12.5%. If I wanted to buy in, I could buy in more. And if I do well at it, they'd be willing to let me operate more stores and buy in for more, as well as they do a lot of real estate work that I could get into. So lots of opportunity for growth if I perform well. The other option was a store that basically I would be the franchise partner and operator. I would be running the day-to-day operations. There would be no equity. I would take half of profits. The store itself, when looking over the P&L, I should be making anywhere between $120,000 and $150,000 a year. So it would be really good income. But there's a no compete clause, so I wouldn't be able to kind of expand from there. So we're looking at taking a big cut to start out with as far as pay, but an opportunity to grow or a substantial income. With not a ton of opportunity to grow.
Are there any startup costs with either of these that you have to pay into?
The second option would be about a $10,000 buy-in. The first option, I would
buy into what? You don't own anything.
It would be more of a franchise fee.
I know, but you're not going to be an owner in the second option.
Correct. Yeah.
So you're not buying in.
Right.
No, that's a bad structure. You're buying in, but you don't own anything.
Yeah.
Who gets the 10 grand?
Correct. Yeah.
His partner, who's he's putting corporate. It towards a franchise fee. But he doesn't own anything.
Yeah.
Now, what's the store worth? Or what's it going to be worth when it's up and running, the second option?
The second option, they do, if the P&L from before it was closed is accurate to what it would be when it opens up, they were doing about $2 million in gross revenue, making about $200,000 to $250,000 profit. A little bit more than that. Basically, when cut profits, I would be making between $120,000 and $150,000.
240 to 300 profit if you're splitting in half.
Correct.
Okay. So in the second deal, if you had 12.5% ownership for your $10,000 that matched the offer on the table for the first deal, it would be a better deal.
Okay.
Wouldn't it? Mathematically. But you need to limit the you need to limit the non-compete to a territory, to a range of a distance, miles, and 2 years max, because it's not enforceable legally anyway. Past that, very difficult to stick a non-compete past 2 years, and very difficult in a situation like yours to make it too many miles away. If the second guy won't do that, I'd go with the first guy, because I'm not paying him $10,000 for nothing. I'm not doing that. On principle, doesn't make sense. Hey, thanks for the call.
Do you love a good Dave rant? Want to see the latest Ramsey Show videos going viral? Check out your favorite moments from The Ramsey Show on YouTube. Go watch and subscribe to The Ramsey Show channel on YouTube. Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. As you know, at Ramsey, we're always looking to protect our listeners from scummy companies, slick marketing, and money myths. I'm George Camel, host of The Fine Print, where I do the research for you to help you rise above the system that's designed to keep you broke and in debt so that you can become confident in your money choices. Check out The Fine Print wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.